We can have it written in our language, and we can open up and read the very words of God in English. That's a blessing. Before I begin at this last message of the conference, I want to speak on behalf of all the missionaries, those that are here present and those that are not, that we are indeed grateful. We cannot express our thanks sufficiently for all of your kindness and your generosity and your love and your concern and your prayers. It's been a blessing to us, and we're thankful for it. There's been many a time in my own life when it was a little bit chilly out and dark and cold, and I was just a little bit discouraged and began wondering if it was worth it all. And I think back to Oak Knoll and think about the prayers of God's people and the faithfulness of some of the old-timers that have held on and pressed toward the mark of the high calling of God and been faithful all these years. And I said, I can't quit because they didn't quit. Amen. And I'm going to go on
Amen.
Because they're going on. And I didn't want to let you down. I didn't want to let my Savior down.
Amen.
And I went on because you went on. And that's been encouragement to all of us. And we're thankful for the good food. I like being a missionary. I used to be called the zipper, but I've moved on. I haven't got quite to the stature of Lindell and Brother Ed over here, but I'm working at it. I'm working at it. We are tremendously blessed. How many of you have been to every meeting every night? How many of you are disappointed that you could not be at every meeting at every night? Yeah, okay, there we go. Yeah. You wanted to be, but you couldn't be. That's part of life, isn't it? I want to give a shout out to the brethren in Poland that are watching this right now. They've already had their meeting. We're behind the times. They've already heard the preaching of the Word of God. I want to give a shout out. How many were here last night and got to see the film of those brothers? And wasn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Do you think that we ought to be a blessing to others?
Amen.
Let me ask that question again. I want to be convinced. Do you think that we ought to be a blessing
Amen.
To others?
Amen.
Well, good.
Amen.
Do you have ears to hear?
Amen.
Are you able to follow instructions?
Amen.
So if I give you some instructions, are you going to be able to follow them?
Yes,
all right. I'm going to give you some instructions. I want you to follow them. Because we're going to give a shout out to the brethren in Mexico and Poland. But you have to follow the instructions. Listen carefully. We're going to line up everybody up here. But you're going to follow the instructions. We're going to start over here on the left-hand side, and row by row, this row right here, is going to get up, and they're going to walk to the end of these chairs. And they're going to stand right here. And as soon as they start walking, the next row behind them is going to get up and follow. When we get it to full right here, this whole line, the next row that comes up is going to do the same thing in front of them. Are you with me? Are the instructions too complicated? Do they need to be repeated? Do you understand what you're going to do? We're going to fill row by row up until we get everybody up here. We're going to start here with this row, then this row, then this row. Then we're going to start at this row, this row, this row. Are you with me?
Amen.
Are the instructions clear? Are they too complicated?
Yes, sir.
Do you think you can follow them?
Yes.
If it is too difficult for you to get out of your chair, we're going to give you permission to remain seated in your chair. You can turn around. This does not mean that you're too ashamed or whatever. It means if it's too difficult. Yes? Does everybody understand what needs to be done?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's go because I got a message to preach.
Amen.
Take more room than you got. Is that going to get in the way of the camera? Is that in the way of the camera?
Come on. Keep it moving. Let's go. Keep it moving. Move it. Time's a passing. Come on. That will only lengthen it. Let's go. Let's go. Move it out.
What do we have to do?
Come on. Come on. Ain't we having a time? Come on, let's go. Go. Man, what a group we got. Can you get a picture on this too as well? Just keep on preaching, trying to remember what was in my notes. Yeah.
Got a response from Debbie and Jeff.
What did it say?
Praise the Lord. We love you guys.
Hey, we already got a response from Poland.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Need to send them back down to Mexico.
Yeah, I'm sure they got into Mexico as well, all over the world. It's the bottom of the ninth. Bases are loaded.
Amen.
This is going to be the last message of the conference. Tremendous opportunity. Yes. Tremendous burden. Yes. Right here. So this morning I want to take just a little bit of your time. I want to tell you about Mexico. And then I want to bring you my message from the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as you're turning, I want to tell you a little bit about Mexico. Mexico, Poland, Mexico, the mission in Poland. We're out in the streets on a daily basis preaching the gospel. And we use gospel tracts. I don't know if you've seen these. We have literally, we just have lots of different gospel tracts. The reason that is we pass out probably on average 5,000 gospel tracts a month in a little town of Torun. Now, in Warsaw, you can pass out a whole lot more because there's just a bigger population. But we have groupies that follow our preaching. And they will come up with their books, and they got all our tracts in them. And they will come up and say, what tract are you passing out? Oh, I already got that one. Don't you have something new? So we got to come up with something new every month, or we have to repeat something that, last year we passed out. So, because we literally pass out tracts by the thousands. Another thing that we've done is we've hung doors with a Gospel of John and a gospel track, and we've printed a personal letter that we put in their mailbox. You're allowed to do that in Poland. And we tell them about our church and we invite them out. So we use literature as a means of reaching people. Not everybody's going to stop and listen to our message. So we give them another opportunity by giving them a piece of literature that they can sit down and read. Some people would be embarrassed to stand out in the street and just listen to us preach. But they're not necessarily embarrassed about taking a piece of literature and then going home in the privacy of their home reading it. Or taking something off their doorknob, slipping it inside and then going inside and reading it with the doors closed that nobody could see them. Yeah? We're not ashamed of the gospel. But there's a lot of lost people out there. They don't understand the gospel and they're a little bit ashamed. So that was a little bit about Mexico. Mexico. Poland. I got Mexico on the brain.
I think you're being called
to Mexico. Brother, you don't know it. I'm called everywhere.
Amen.
Yeah. I've been there, done that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 13. I thought Brother Mike was going to take my message, but he didn't. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I want to take a little bit of your time for the rest of this conference to tell you why we preach the gospel. I want to tell you in what name we preach the gospel, how we preach the gospel, when we preach the gospel, where we preach the gospel, who do we preach the gospel to, what do we preach, and why do we preach. Now, some of these things are going to be straightforward. You've read the Bible, and it's just going to be repetition, and repetition is good for the soul.
Amen.
So, I want you to look at this text first of all, and notice it says, whether we beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. You know what? I'm a nut for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm beside myself. I'm under the influence, not of alcohol, or drugs, or weed, or marijuana. I'm under the influence of the Spirit of God. And when people look at me, they say, you've got to be beside yourself. My father, who did not understand the gospel, was not saved, but after 27 years of prayer, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. But in the beginning, he thought I was beside myself. When we were down in Mexico, brother, the reply I had from my father was, when are you going to get a job? Because the only reason people go to Mexico is on vacation. He'd been to Mexico. You go to Mexico on vacation. He said, I taught you to be a hard-working young man. You ought to work for a living. Sounded a lot like Brother Mike. He said, you ought to work for a living. What are you doing in Mexico? And I'm telling him, I'm preaching the gospel. He says, you're nuts. You're beside yourself. When I decided, Janice and I went up to him and visited him at my mother's funeral, and we began to tell him that we're going to go to Poland. He says, you're serious about this stuff, aren't you? I guess you don't go to Poland for vacation. But you know, we are beside ourselves. It does not make sense in this world.
Amen.
Doesn't make sense why somebody would leave America. I get this all the time in Poland. What are you doing in America? I mean, what are you doing in Poland? We're trying to get to America and they won't give us a visa. What are you doing in Poland? Are you beside yourself? Are you a nut?
Amen.
Yes, I am. And you want to know what I'm doing? I'm looking for sinners. Because I have good news to tell a sinner. Point me in the direction. Where's a sinner? I've got news for him. Or whether be sober, it is for your cause. And now the opposite. The world thinks, you're too serious. Isn't that right? Why don't you partake in the pleasures of sin? Why don't you get down with us? Let's have a party. And they look that we don't drink, we don't smoke, and we don't associate with those that do. And they look at us like, you're too serious. Yeah? All right. In what name do we preach? You know the verse, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. For whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him.
Amen.
So many times they ask us on the streets of Poland and Torun, they ask us, what are you? Well, I'm a Christian. Well, what church do you go to? I go to the Church of God. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. No, but just tell us. Quit playing around. Tell us plainly, what kind of Christian are you? Well, I hope I'm a good Christian. No. We want to know what denomination, what sect of you are, what sect are you of? I'm not of any sect. I'm a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a member. I'm a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Christ is the head of the church. He's my Savior.
Amen.
They want to know what denomination we're promoting. We don't promote any denomination.
Amen.
We promote the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Janice and I were driving in. We were listening to your Christian radio. I don't know if it's Christian. I presume it's Christian. KDRY here in San Antonio. Had some woman on there talking about Yahweh. So you got to preach in the name of Yahweh.
Yes.
I don't know what she was talking about. Now, if she was talking about Jehovah of the Old Testament, okay, I understand. Yeah, Jehovah's mentioned over 6,000 times in the Old Testament, but not once in the New. Now, Jehovah just didn't disappear, but he manifests himself in the flesh.
Amen.
And he says, now we're to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you have these guys knocking on your doors like we do in Poland, these guys called Jehovah's Witnesses? I always like to read them this verse when they knock on that door. I say, by the way, sir, what name did you come in? Oh, we come in the name of Jehovah. And you believe that the name of Jesus is a different identity, a different God than Jehovah? Well, of course, Jesus is just the Son of God. He's not the God of Jehovah. I said, well, then you've got a problem. Because all through the New Testament it says you're supposed to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I don't have a problem because when I'm preaching the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm preaching Jehovah. Because Jesus is Jehovah saves. So what do? We preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not interested in promoting our denomination.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We're not even interested in promoting our viewpoint. We're interested in lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ that His name
Amen.
Might be exalted.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, when do you preach? Look in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 2. Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Be instant in season and out of season. I want you to know, we preach when the sun is shining.
Amen.
But we also preach when the sun's not shining. And if you ever come to Poland about October going into November, it's going to start getting dark about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean pitch dark. And you're standing out on the street in the dark preaching the gospel. We preach when it's warm. And down in Mexico, we preach when it's raining. And in Poland, we preach when it's snowing. I have been so cold, my Bible froze together. I couldn't open the pages. Had to preach from memory. And in Poland, you have a custom. You cannot shake somebody's hand with a glove on. That's just rude. It's also rude to preach with your hand in the pocket. It's also rude to whistle in the church building. You whistle for dogs. What are you doing whistling? There's no dogs in the church. Yeah? Different customs. But you know, when you shake hands in the wintertime, that means you got to take off your glove. And shake somebody's hand. And boy, you want to get that hand back in the glove pretty quick. Yeah? So we preach in season and out of season. But it doesn't have just to do with weather. It doesn't have to do with just temperature. Sometimes we preach when we're just tired of preaching.
Amen. Amen.
Now come on. I know that you sometimes get tired of preaching.
Yeah.
Don't you lie to me. I've been around. Yeah? Your flesh ain't no better than my flesh. You and I are made out of the same mold. We got a different face, different fingerprints, but out of the same mold. You got the same problems I got. I know good and well sometimes you think, is it worth it?
Yeah.
If the sunshine, it helps a little bit, but it gets real dark and cold, that excuse sometimes starts really working on you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to go out preach when you don't got no preach in you.
Yeah. Amen.
And you got to go and say, God, help me. Lord, I don't feel like it, but I know that you feel like it. And you're interested. And you go anyway. In season and out of season.
Amen.
Where do we preach? Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. Preaching the gospel. Somebody says you ought to go to Mexico. That's fine. Go to Mexico. Somebody says you ought to go to Poland. That's fine. Go to Poland. Somebody says you ought to stay in San Antonio. That's fine. Stay in San Antonio. Somebody says you ought to go out to Arizona. Well, fine. Go off to Arizona. Preach the gospel. Where? Everywhere.
Amen.
Everywhere. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. The Bible says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
So where are we preaching the gospel? We're preaching the gospel everywhere.
Amen.
You know, I come back to the mission command, I see what's going on in Mexico, I want to go to Mexico. Hey, somebody tells me something's going on in Guatemala, you know what? I want to go to Guatemala. Somebody says, hey, they got an open door in Mongolia. You know what? Hey, I want to go to Mongolia. Genesis, no, you don't. But you understand, I want to get the gospel to everybody,
amen,
everywhere. And along these lines, who do we preach to? Look in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, that great missionary call. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, how do you know God called you to Poland? Well, I looked up that little word, all nations, and then I looked at all the nations on the map, and Poland was in the number. There you go. I didn't get a telephone from God saying, you got to go to Poland tomorrow. I read the Bible, and the Bible says that Jesus Christ was interested in getting the gospel to all nations, and Poland was a nation that needed the gospel. Mark in chapter 16 and verse 15. And the Lord Jesus Christ said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I am a street preacher by nature. We preach the gospel on the street. That's our ministry. That's our method of evangelizing. Brother Mike was talking about some of our methods. One of our methods was that we were not going to make of our converts, of our disciples, those that become welfare recipients.
Yep.
We wanted them to stand on their own two feet.
Amen.
And one of the things we were able to do in Mexico is we would not pay the rent for them because we were able, because of the weather conditions in Mexico, to meet in a park. That doesn't work in Poland. You can ask Gosha, we tried that. Come around September, you're out there just freezing and everybody wants to preach because you're the only one moving. You don't want to be sitting. Great for open meetings. Yeah, everybody wants to say something. But, you know, then about October and going into November, it just don't work no more. So we have to rent a place. Now, the place that we rent in Torun costs us, just for rent alone, $1,000. That's not counting our rent for our apartments, our expenses, our things that, you know, you have to pay for. Above and beyond our normal everyday expenses for our own needs, we have to pay for the rent of a church. Now, in Warsaw, thank God, the church from the very beginning began to contribute and began to take part. And for the most part, the church in Warsaw has gone their own way by the grace of God. But that isn't the way it goes in Łódź, and that hasn't been the way it goes in Torun. So who's paying the piper? Who's paying the bill? You're looking at it. Yeah, Joe and I and Josh, we've got to pay the rent. Hopefully, the brethren are going to catch the light and realize that there's a responsibility. I spoke with a Polish pastor in Torun when I first went over there. And this is the problem. They got this mentality that, well, you're Americans, you're rich. Why don't you build a building? I mean, you can do it. Don't tell me you can't do it. You can raise the money. Listen, it's irrelevant whether I can do it or not. I don't think that's the best policy for the people in Poland. Listen, God has blessed you, God has used you, and God has stretched your faith and used your generosity, and I don't want to rob the Polish people of that.
Amen.
Now, it's sometimes hard to see your children suffer, but sometimes they have to suffer to grow up. So where do we preach and who do we preach? We preach to all nations, to every creature. What is it that we preach? Are we preaching religion? We're not preaching religion, we're preaching Christ. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2. He says, preach the word. We've been there, coming back to it. Preach the word. If you want the real truth, you want to really get understanding of that, you ought to read the Polish Bible. The Polish Bible says, preach the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. And that's what we do. We preach the Word of God. Did you hear what I said? We are not preaching the Word of men. We are preaching the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Did you hear that? Not, we're going to baptize today. Yeah. Thank God for that. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? But to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. Paul said that he baptized some, but that wasn't what Christ called him to do. That Christ has sent him to do something else. Doesn't mean that he would not baptize, but that wasn't his calling. His calling was to preach the gospel. Not that tells me something. That baptism, water baptism, is not part of the gospel. And those that teach, like so many in the places we've gone, in so many nations around the world, have a misunderstanding of the gospel. They think they got to be water baptized in order to be saved. They have a false understanding of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Christ purged our sins by Himself.
Amen.
He doesn't need help.
Amen.
He doesn't need the help of a priest. He doesn't need the help of you and I. He did it by Himself on the cross of Calvary. And it's not the sacrament of baptism that washes away sin. It's the blood of Christ that washes away sins. So what is it that we preach? Why, we preach the Word of God and we preach good news. This world needs some good news. I mean, you turn on the TV, listen to the radio, read the newspaper, and all you got is bad news. Makes you wonder why you even want to bring a child into this world, because there's so much bad news around. And you think, man, I'm thankful that my kids are already grown. I don't have to worry about sending them off to these schools. And but we got some good news to preach, don't we?
Amen.
How is it that we preach? In what manner do we preach? 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, "But all your things be done with charity." You know what I read in my Bible? And I think it's in your Bible too. That I could lay down my life for the cause of Christ, and if I do it without charity, it's all vanity. Well, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Invest 29 years of your life in a foreign field, and all for naught, because you forgot the very important principle, charity. How do we preach? We preach with charity. Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, I think we heard this message in this conference this week. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges, and what? Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You know what how we preach? We preach a compelling message.
Amen.
And there's nothing more compelling like a changed life. There's nothing more compelling with faith demonstrated. Somebody willing to leave their home, their family, their country, their culture, their food, their comforts to go to another country and stand up and preach Christ Jesus crucified. That's compelling. What is it that persuades you to lay your life down for another? We need to preach a compelling. How do we preach? We need to be compelling. We need to persuade men. That's what our text says, didn't it? Therefore, we persuade men. The love of Christ constraining love. That was all repetition. I think you already knew all that, right? I want to tell you the last part of my message, why we preach. Why we go. At least why I went. Well, the reason Janice and I left America to go to another country. I want to tell you why. Look at our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 13 and 15 through 15. I want to say the first reason that we preach the gospel in foreign lands and in our own country. Look what it says here, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The first reason that I preach the gospel is because Christ died for me.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to offend anybody, and I might step on some theological toes this morning, especially if you're a dyed-in-the-wool Calvinist, because I'm going to step on the toe called limited atonement and hopefully break it. You see, Christ died for all.
Amen.
He died for people in Poland.
Amen.
He died for people in America. He died for people in Guatemala. He died for people in Mexico. He died for all. He died for all sinners. How many are dead? All. How many did he die for? All those that were dead. Am I hearing the crunching of toes? You see, I'm persuaded that the gospel message is for all men. I'm persuaded that the gospel message is for all nations. I'm persuaded the gospel message is for every creature. Did you hear me this morning? Every creature. And bless God, I got saved because Christ died for me. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all who? All men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all.
Amen.
To be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. I teach the Gentiles in faith and verity. You know what I can do in all sincerity? I can knock on every door in Poland and give them a sincere invitation to be saved.
Amen.
You know what I can do in Tartu, Poland? I can stand on a street corner in downtown, in the old street corners, and I can stand up and say that Christ loves you. And I can do it with sincerity without a doubt in my mind. You know what I can say? I can say with all honesty, without a doubt in my mind, with true sincerity, I can say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can do that with all sincerity because I'm persuaded that when Christ died on the cross, He died for every sinner.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I'm persuaded that God wants all men to be saved.
Yes.
You ask me, why do you go to Poland? Why do you go to Mexico? Why do you preach the gospel? I tell you why. First of all, because He saved me. Second of all, I've read the Bible and I understand that God is interested in saving people. Yes, He's interested in delivering people from the wrath to come, but He's also interested in delivering from this present evil world. And this gospel that we preach is just not a ticket out of hell. It's a deliverance from sin. And if there ever was a generation that needed deliverance from sin, it's our generation.
Amen.
You know what this gospel can do? It can restore marriages.
Amen.
And divorces rampant all across this planet. You know what this gospel can do? It can liberate people that are under the influence of alcohol and drugs. And all across this world, people are under the influence of alcohol and drugs. You know what this gospel that I preach can do? It can deliver people from the deceitfulness of riches. Everybody in this world keep chasing after riches.
Amen.
The other night I want to say that I preached, I told you that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed. I've never been ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I've been ashamed of my sin. I've been ashamed of my behavior. I've been ashamed of my lack of faith. I've been ashamed of my failures. But I've never been ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because of the power of God on the salvation of every one of the believers. Did you hear that? The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And if I can persuade a Pole to believe, that's for him too. And if I can compel a Mexican to believe, that's for him too. And if I can compel a cold-hearted American to believe, that's for him too. Praise God, the gospel is for every creature. God is interested in saving all men. He is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe.
Amen.
And when that phrase changes from He's the Savior of all men, when a man or a woman can say, He's my Savior, oh, there's a difference there.
Right.
Amen.
And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm trying to persuade you to do. And that's what this mission conference is all about, is to wake up in your heart that God Almighty is interested in saving sinners.
Amen.
And if you ever get a hold of that, it will change your life.
Amen.
It changed my life. When I understood the gospel, it just became like a light bulb turning on in my head. It's so clear. And I saw it with such clarity, I was persuaded that whoever I talked to would see it just as clear as I saw it. And so I went everywhere trying to persuade men. And you know what I'm doing? Like the old preacher said, I'm striking matches in this dark old world.
Amen.
Trying to light up something. Trying to get that light bulb to switch on people's hearts and minds. They might see the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ being the Son of Man, He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Tell me what's lost.
Amen.
Can you put a number to it? Is there a quantity? Is it a portion of humanity that is lost? Or is it all humanity that is lost? My Bible says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? All the descendants of Adam. All of them. Lost. Without Christ, in need of a Savior. Jesus said, therefore said He unto them, His disciples, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. There is a prayer request. We meet every night in Poland on Wednesday nights. I believe you do here too in San Antonio. And we take prayer requests. Every once in a while we like to remind our people of God's prayer requests. Jesus Christ Himself had a prayer request. He raised His hand and said, I got a prayer request. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers.
Amen.
And I heard God's prayer request and I said, hear my Lord, send me.
Amen.
And to be honest about it, brother, I don't understand why you didn't hear that voice. Seriously, I don't understand why you aren't jumping out of your seat saying, hey, I'll go for Jesus. Hey, I'll be a servant. Hey, I'll be a light. Hey, I'll be a witness. Hey, I'll be a preacher of the gospel. Hey, I'll carry the torch. Hey, I'll pick up that mantle. I'll preach the gospel. I don't understand.
Amen. Amen.
Do you? My dear wife, bless her heart, she's such a tender soul. She just weeps uncontrollably for no reason. I mean, from my perspective. I was watching that great film last night, just watching it. Oh, man, that's cool. Oh, man, that's great. Oh, man, praise God. I was turning over my wife. She goes, oh. And if I'd look back and stretch my neck around, I'm almost sure the Kathy would be back there doing the same thing. But you know what we saw last night on that film? Alberto Santoyo. I remember Bill and I preaching on a dark night in Mexico, in León, Guanajuato, in a neighborhood filled with pandilleros, a neighborhood filled with banditos and mafiosos and bad guys.
Amen.
Yeah, bad guy. I remember going out with Mike. I always like go with Mike because, you know, he's kind of muscular guy, a little short guy, but muscular. They called me, what did they call me? Don Quixote and Sancho Panza when we went out. That was about the truth. We were preaching one time and one of those pandilleros, one of those gang members, all tattooed up, big old guy, big monster guy coming. Mike says, we need to go. And I'm thinking, well, I got Mike here. I don't see. I don't think we'll go out and talk to him. I don't think we need to talk to him. We need to get going. Well, Bill and I were preaching in that neighborhood on a dark night. We'd already preached and nobody came out. We're headed back to the car. Here comes one of them pandilleros all tattooed up. Why they put the Virgin Mary and the Virgin Guadalupe all over their arms, I have no idea, but they did. And he said, hey, didn't you say you was going to preach? Yeah, we already preached. No, I didn't hear you. I want you to preach. And we're thinking, yeah, I bet you do. He says, I don't know what he said exactly, but he said, I got my compañeros, I got my friends over here waiting for you. I bet they are waiting for you. He said, I want you to come preach. And I'm thinking, man. So what do you mean about this, Bill? I don't know about this. Well, we better pray. We're here to preach the gospel. Here we go. Let's lay down our lives. And I'm thinking, why don't you go lay down your life and I'll go get in the car. Well, we took a step of faith and we went. Went around the corner to this man's mechanic shop. He's got all these junk cars out in this field. And all his pandillero buddies were sitting on their cars waiting for us to come preach.
Amen.
And we stood up and we preached the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation. And they said, we want you to come back.
Amen.
And we went back 3 nights in a row, had them all gathered up. On the third night, they said, what about Mary? I said, your turn to preach, Bill. I'll preach Christ, you handle that. You're the theologian in the group, I'll let you handle it. Well, we're true to our calling because we preach all the full counsel of God. And we told them what the Bible says about Mary. And things began to change. And they weren't interested anymore. But three young men hung around. One of them was Alberto Santoyo. And he got saved. And he got the burden for lost souls and became a servant of the Lord God Almighty. Became a deacon under the conditions that he never took money home because he'd never get it back. And Janice and I went back to Lem, Guanajuato a few years back, and here comes all the family of Alberto Santoyo coming up. All of them grown up. I mean, they were just knee-high as a grasshopper when we were there. They all come by. They're coming by. Hermano Miguel, brother Michael, brother Brent. And they're hanging their head. Do you remember when your window was broken? Yeah, I think I remember. That was me. Would you forgive me? Yeah, brother, I forgive you. No worry. All 10 of his, I don't remember how many, but the whole family, the whole crew coming down there, every one of them saying, do you remember when your tire got punctured? Do you remember when you couldn't start your truck? Sugar. And then Alberto's mother, oh, hermano, I can't tell you what I did, but would you forgive me? Somebody says, why do you preach the gospel? I tell you why. Because there's an Alberto Santoyo that needs the gospel.
Amen.
There's a Grandma Tiquette carried about with every wind of doctrine, lost, without a Savior. She gets a tremendous revelation one night when she flipped on the lights and saw the cockroaches eating the eyes of her blessed virgin. Huge old Virgin Mary on the wall. And she says, something's wrong with this. Began reading the Bible from the book of Genesis and got over to Exodus and says, you're not to make any images. And she had a revelation from the Word of God. And she began to become a Roman Catholic evangelist going around house to house with her big old Roman Catholic Bible telling, you know, we're not supposed to have images. And she got disillusioned by that religion. She was carried off to every type of religion you can think of. But one day, a couple of gospel preachers on her street, "Would you come in and talk to me?" We went in her home and began to explain her the gospel. And the glorious light of the gospel opened her eyes and she got saved. And you know what? That woman was a key. Just a literally, I can't even remember the amount of people that got saved from Grandma Tiquette. I can remember a night that Janice and I were in our home and heard us knocking at the gate and went out. One of Grandma Tiquette's, or two of our grandchildren, her relatives were there. They're going to come and convert this heretic back to the Holy Mother Church. And they walked out of our house that night saved by the glorious gospel. That was Jose Hernandez and Alberta, I believe, Beto got saved. Somebody says, "Why do you preach the gospel?" Because I know that the gospel has the power of God to save men and deliver them from not only the wrath to come, but deliver them from sin and change their lives and fill them with the Holy Spirit with real joy and real happiness. I think of Grazina Ditt, disillusioned with her religion. Disillusion of the hypocrisy of her religion, the only religion she had known all her life. She was a zealot. And she wanted to serve God the best way she knew how, but she was entrapped by religion, blinded by the God of this world, lost. But one day she heard a young girl, our daughter, Cassidy, in an English language class, talking and giving a witness, began asking her questions. You know what? She got saved. And she began to pray and asked us to pray for her husband. Her husband came to church. He was the most faithful man in our church. He'd come on Sunday. What did he say? But he came out of respect for his wife. He wasn't enthralled with the religion of his country. But he loved his wife. And he'd come to church with his wife just out of respect for her. And one day, he heard the gospel and he understood it. And I went up to him and I said, "Adam, how come you haven't believed yet?" He says, "Well, I just haven't had this tremendous experience that my wife has had." I said, "You don't need an experience. You just need to have faith. And if you've got enough faith to call on the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And he said, "Well, if that's all it takes, then I'm going to do it." And he called on the Lord and got saved. You know why I preach the gospel? Because I'm thinking of a Michal Scheffler, young man. His daddy was a drunk, his mom was a drunk, his brothers were drunk. What kind of chance do you have in that kind of family? Young man, 17, 18 years old, got a gospel tract with an address on it and a time of meeting. And he came to our meeting. And he said to us, "Don't ask me any questions. I've made a vow. I'm going to come to your meetings 3 times. At the end of 3 times, you can ask me a question, but I want to see what's going on." And his testimony later, after he got saved, he says, "You know, I came those 3 times. I was expecting they were going to try to build my ego up and tell me what a good guy was. But every time I came, 'You're a sinner! You're a sinner!'" And then one day he realized that he was indeed a sinner. Amen. In need of a Savior. God saved his soul and changed his life. You say, why do you preach? Why do you go? Because there's some Alberto Santoyos and Jose Hernandez's and Grandma Tiquette's.
Yeah.
And Michal Scheffler's, there's Grazina Ditt's, there's Sebastian and Asha Dimek that need the gospel. Brother Joe was out preaching on a street corner one time, and people know us. They know us. They know our doctrine. They know our manner of life. Comes up to him and says, "Listen, I've got some real problems with my family. I'm about ready to lose my wife. And I know you're one of them priests that are married." That's their vocabulary. I know that you understand what it is to have a wife. So can you come and help us? So Brother Joe and Debbie make an appointment, go out there and talk to his wife. And you know what? His wife got saved. And then he got upset like old Brother Roland and said, "What's this? What's my wife getting saved first? That ain't right. I got to get saved too." And he got saved. And a marriage is rescued. You know what? Both Grazina and Asha are with child now. The blessing of the Lord. Why do you preach? I preach because that's what I ought to do.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what you ought to do.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir. It's our express duty and moral obligation to carry the gospel to every creature. Each and every one of us sitting here this morning, we're debtors. We're debtors. We're debtors to the Poles. We're debtors to the Mexicans. We're debtors to the Americans. We're debtors to every creature. You and I are debtors. How can we be ashamed of the gospel of Christ when we know that it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth? What can I do more than has already been done to persuade, to compel you to get into the gospel business? What more can be done than that has been done this week to move your heart, to reason with you, to compel you by the Scriptures and with the Scriptures to give your life for the gospel? What more can we do other than what we've already done in opening up the Word of God and showing you that God Almighty is interested in leaving the 99 that He might save one? What can we do to persuade you that there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth? What can I do, brother and sister, to help you to get beside yourself in this mission of getting the gospel to every creature than what's already been said? I think you understand.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't think the problem is a lack of understanding. I think the problem is a lack of faith. And without faith, is it impossible to please God? So right now, this morning, I'm calling upon you to take a step of faith and say, I'm going to serve God the best I know how. All that is within me is, I'm going to be ready to preach the gospel. Is there somebody here this morning that says, hear my Lord,
amen,
send me?
Amen.
Stand up right now.
Amen.
Somebody has more. Here's one. Here's one.
Amen.
Here am I. Send me. Here's another one.
Amen.
Here's another. Amen. Said, Lord, here am I. Send me. I don't know where you'll send me, but here am I. Send me. Is there another? Is there another? Do not quench the Spirit of God when He's moving. Here's another.
Amen.
Here am I. Thank God. There's another.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I know that it's the power of God unto salvation. Is there another? Stand up and say, yes, Lord, here am I. I'll go where you call me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. Anybody else? Anybody else? This is the last message of this mission conference. I don't know if there's going to be another. We got this one.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. Today is your opportunity and my opportunity. What will you do for Christ? I'm going to ask one more time. I want to plead with you not to resist the Spirit of God. Is there another? Hear my Lord. Send me. All right, brothers, it's your meeting now.
Thank you.